I'm ministering this morning a message called Living by Faith. Andre started with a topic last week called Living by Faith, just in terms of our relationship with God and our faith relationship with Him. You know, God says in His Word that He loves faith. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's something about the Christian walk that we can't do it without faith. But unfortunately, we often do. We often walk by sight and not by faith. And I just want to touch on a different angle this morning. And also want to talk about our hearts and our loyalty towards God's church. So, there was a stage in my life, I'd say about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when there was something that was really important to me, and that was getting into the property market. All my friends and my colleagues were getting houses, and they started building, and it was this big thing, you know, for our age at that stage, and the company I worked for, it was just very, very focused on, we must now get a house. So it became quite important to me, up to a point where I would even call it an obsession or an idol in my life, where I envied people's houses and, you know, I just wanted my own place. It was very important to me and I justified it, you know, by, I know it's, we must get into the market and it's a good investment and, you know, all those things. But deep inside of me, I knew that it became too important to me. It became really important to me. In the end, we did build a house in Cape Town after we really we prayed about it and we really felt at that stage it was something we needed to do. We built a house. We had to sell it 2 years later when we moved to East London. I loved our little place. It was small, but it was just the way we liked it. And when we moved to East London, we felt we must sell the house, which was not the best financial decision at that stage. I think renting would have been a better option, but we in our hearts felt we must make a clear, we must close that chapter in our lives and move to East London. So, we lost quite a bit of money, and but something changed in my heart. This is what I want to come to. I moved from 8-9 years ago, being really obsessed with having a house of my own, to moving to East London, having to give it up, which was difficult for me. But God did something really good in my heart through that whole process. I can honestly tell you this morning that we're renting at the moment, but I can honestly tell you that having a house of my own, it's not an idol or an obsession anymore. And I had to buy and sell and move to get it out of my system. But it's such a good feeling at the moment, you know, looking at houses or looking at people buying houses and not have that envy or that, you know, that thing in me that I must have my own place. It's such freedom for me. And I think what also changed for me a lot is God's house, like all of you and the church here, became much more important to me than my own house. And for me, it's not something I could have just done or could have just changed in my own heart. God did something in me where His house became really, really important to me. And I think what we found here in East London, in terms of people, in terms of church, in terms of everything, I think it's just for me so much more important than having my own house. And I want to share it with you this morning because I think often we are very much focused on our own house. We very much focus on our own, not even a physical house, but our own career and our own plans and our own priorities, that when it comes to God's house, it's not so high on our priority list. It's quite low often. And God changed something in me because what we found here when we moved to East London was a handful of very committed people, but we were only a few. But it grew to something like this today, where I just think, wow, Lord, you've done something so special, and this became so important to me that many other things moved lower on my priority list. So I want to show you a scripture, Psalms 36, verse 8. It says, "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you have given them drink from the river of your pleasures." They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. What I've seen in my own life is there's no true satisfaction and contentment outside of the fullness of God's house. I want to say that again. There's no satisfaction and contentment outside of the fullness of God's house. So sometimes, yes, we belong to a church, and we might even be a member of a church, but we do not embrace the fullness of God's house. And that fullness is something far more than just coming to church on a Sunday. There's something about embracing the fullness of God's house, being in body, soul, spirit, all together, your whole being in and being there and being committed. And that is where the satisfaction that the scripture talks about, they're abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And I want to ask a question this morning. Maybe it's applicable to some of you. Do you perhaps sometimes feel a frustration with your life, an emptiness, a question, what on earth am I here for? What am I doing on this planet? Do you sometimes feel without purpose? You know, with purpose-driven emptiness, you know? Do you feel that purpose-driven emptiness? And could there, I want to ask you this morning, could there perhaps be a link between an emptiness, a lack of purpose, a frustration with your life, and the level of our hearts embracing the fullness of God's house? I want to ask you this morning, could there be a link between all of this frustrations inside of you, and the level of our commitment to God's church and His house? Because this scripture says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. God's house. So let's look at King David. Always a nice example. And by the way, I'm primarily going to speak to members this morning. So if you're a member at another church, you're very welcome just to make it applicable to your situation at your other church. If you're a visitor this morning, you can sit back and relax. Amen. You can just enjoy the sun and the plants. You can just enjoy. You can count how many lights we have. you can switch off. That's what I'm saying. Okay, you can just relax. The Bible says King David was a man after God's own heart. We all know that. And many people say, no, but David was a worshiper, and that's why he was a man after God's own heart. Some people say he had a godly understanding of authority, where he could honor King Saul, even though King Saul wanted to kill him. So there's lots of reasons. You know, David was such an amazing package of somebody after God's own heart. But I want to show you two scriptures this morning. It's also a side of David that God loved. Psalms 26, verse 8. This is David speaking. He says, "Lord, I've loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I've loved the habitation of your house." In Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing," again David speaking, one thing. Imagine one thing that you can desire. This is what David says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." That was his one desire. To to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Now, for those of you who are teachers and thinking, okay, but maybe that was Old Testament and maybe that was the temple, and was God's house in the Old Testament also the church of today? Let me just show you one scripture. I know there's some of you who are interested in all this detail. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, it's the Apostle Paul writing, I write so that you may know that you ought to how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. There you have it. The house of God, all the references to the house of God in the Old Testament, there's a direct link between the church of God today. So, why do we need to have a passion for God's house like David? Should it really be our one desire? Is it really that important? Can't we just be passionate about Jesus, but when it comes to church, we kind of see how it goes? So let's ask the married men. How many of you married? Quite a few. Okay. Let's ask the married men. How do you feel about your bride, your wife? You chose that girl above all the girls that you knew. And you must be passionate about it. I hope you are passionate about your girl still. The same passion you had on your wedding day, that excitement about this one girl that you have chosen. Let's ask the single guys, how do you think one day you're going to feel about that one girl that you have chosen, your bride? Sometimes we forget that the church is God's bride. He's passionate about his church. He's coming back for us. Marriage is a picture of Jesus and his bride. Jesus and his church. And I think sometimes we forget that. We think church, we go from one to the other. If we don't like it anymore, we move on. Or if we don't like it anymore, we stay away. Or if we don't like the pastor anymore, we get offended. Or, you know, we think our relationship with the church is not as important as our relationship with God. And let me tell you this morning, I think I can't be passionate about God if I'm not passionate about his bride, because that is his heart. It's his pride. It's the love of his life. And it doesn't always make sense to us, but if you go and read all the scriptures about marriage and that it's a picture of God and his church, it will start making sense to you that God is passionate about his church. So, how did I become passionate about God's church? I want to mention three things and then I'm going to focus on the one. What I did is I planted myself. I often say this and I'll repeat myself over and over again because that changed my life. I planted myself in Shofar in 1995. I know it's a long time ago. 1995, I planted myself in Shofar Stellenbosch. Many things have changed since then. But I embraced the fullness of God's house by becoming part of that. I didn't only join the church, I became involved. I did everything. I did whatever there was to do. I just said, I'll do it. And by doing that, I discovered my passions and my heart became very attached to God's house by being part of it. The third one I did, which I want to spend some time on, is I became a faithful giver, not only of my time, but of my resources, of my finances. And that changed my heart. And I want to show you another scripture of King David, because his passion for God's heart was very clearly demonstrated in the way that he gave of his own resources. Let me show you this. 1 Chronicles 29. David had a dream to build God a house, to physically build God a place. So he started getting everything together, and in the end, his son, Solomon, physically built the house, but David made all the preparations for God's house. Okay, hy het die fondsinsameling gedoen. And the marketing and everything. He said, come guys, come. We must now bring, we're going to build God a house. So listen to this, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Moreover, this is David speaking. Moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God. Because I've set my affection on the house of my God. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. So he gave over and above from his own resources to God's heart, to God's house. Then the leaders, in verse 6, the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, they offered willingly. So David started, he said, come on guys, let's bless the Lord. Let's come and bring of our own resources to build God a house. And then the leader said, we're in. And they did that. And then the people, in verse 9, the rest of the people, they rejoiced. They got all excited. For they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. This for me is such a beautiful portion of scripture, talking about somebody who had a heart for the house of God. He wasn't only a worshiper. He didn't only make nice music and let people into the presence of God. He was a giver. He said, come on guys, let's build God a house. Let's take from our own resources, which belongs to God in any case, let's bring it and let's build something for God. And the leaders were in, and the people were in, and something in them changed towards God's house. Let's look at Matthew 6, verse 19. It says, familiar scripture, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So why do I say that I became passionate about God's house when I started giving? Why? Why is it not the other way around? That I must first be passionate about God's house, and if I get to that point where I'm really passionate, then I'll maybe give. Why is it not that way? This scripture says, where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. So if I put my treasure there, my heart's going to move there. If I put it there, it's going to move there. If I keep it, if I keep my treasure, my heart will just always stay within me. It will never move. It won't move. Our hearts follow our treasure. Our hearts follow our treasure. And I believe that if we significantly and faithfully start giving towards anything in this world, our hearts will move there. I'm not talking about a once-off donation because we feel guilty and now we need to do a once-off donation and then I can relax again. I'm not talking about those kind of donations that we sometimes make. I'm talking about giving faithfully and giving significantly. That's by significantly, I mean significantly in terms of your resources. Okay, somebody can give 10 rand, it's significant to that person. Somebody can give 10,000, it's not significant because they have millions. So it depends, by significant, I mean significant to your situation. So if we want to become passionate about God's pride, I honestly believe that a very important component of becoming passionate, of moving our hearts there, is to first put our treasure there, and then our hearts will follow. Does it make sense to you? We can't wait until we are passionate before we move our treasure. We have to move our treasure and then our hearts will move. So, why is it so difficult to give faithfully and significantly to God's church, to his house, to his bride? I want to talk about a few things this morning because I know for many people, it's a big thing. It's a big thing giving to the church. They'll rather give somewhere else. If they come to a point where they want to give, they'll rather give somewhere else. So why? Why is it so difficult for us to move our treasure to God's house like David did? He said, from my own special treasure of gold and silver, I gave. Why is it so difficult for us? And I want to talk about three things. And I really hope I'm going to answer a few questions for you this morning. I think the first thing that really keeps us from giving to God's house is a fear of lack. We fear, which is a very legitimate fear, we fear that our own fountain might dry up. So, can I give if I don't know if I'm going to have enough for myself? It's a legitimate fear. I totally relate to that, totally understand that. But I thought about this, and I came to the conclusion that how can I trust the Lord for my eternal salvation? How can I trust the Lord for where I will spend eternity? We all trust Him for that, eh? We don't know. We trust Him. It's faith that tells us that when we die one day and we have a relationship with God, we'll go to heaven. It's faith. We need to believe Him. How can we trust God for such a big thing? It's eternity. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. We trust Him that we're going to be with Him. But we battle to trust Him now with our finances. Have you ever thought about that? That we trust God for this big thing, but we struggle to trust Him now. And let me tell you, living in stress day by day by day, it's horrible. To stress about finances every day of your life, or every week, or every month, it's a horrible place to be. I've been there. We have to come to a place where we say, God, I don't know if I'm going to have enough for myself, but I put my trust in You. To stress about retirement now and whether you're going to have a job until you're 63 or whenever you want to retire, we can't take that stress upon ourselves. God's shoulders are big. You know, you can dump it all on Him. We can trust Him. But the only way we can become free is to let go, to open our hand and say, God, I open my hand, I let go of something, then God can come and replace that open hand with peace and trust and joy. So I want to encourage you. You know, faith is God's love language. You know all the five love language, that book? I hope you all know what your love languages are. I hope the husbands know what the wives' love languages are. And the other way around. The wives are normally a bit more into these kind of things. Faith is God's love language. When we speak faith to Him, He understands that. He understands faith. He doesn't understand unbelief. He doesn't understand doubt. Yes, He does. To a certain extent, He's God. He understands all things. But He relates to faith. He moves. He moves when we trust in Him. That's God. That's His love language. He relates to faith. And we have to move from a place of fear of lack to a place where we say, God, I trust You. It's a wonderful place to be. Amen? There's another fear. There's another fear that I think many of us battle with. It's the fear of losing control. So you're willing to give, but you are uncertain what if the church will steward your money properly. So you fear losing that kind of control, because if you're going to give, you want to at least know if it's going to be a good investment. Amen? I mean, all that, we work like that. And I totally relate to that as well. I'm a very conservative, careful investor. You know, I'm not just going to put money anywhere. I'm not just going to give anywhere where I feel that the money is going to be wasted or that it's not going to be properly stewarded. I want to know. I want to know with all of my heart that the money will be well looked after when I give. So I understand. I totally relate to that fear of losing control, where you only want to give if you know it will be stewarded properly. But I've come to a place, and I joined Andre 3.5 years ago in full-time ministry. Before that, I worked, as most of you do. I worked, I had a normal job, I had a salary, and I had to make up my mind what I'm going to do with my first fruit, which was my tithe, which is a tithe, is 10% of your income that you earn. For those of you who don't know, I had to make up my mind, what am I going to do with my tithe? Because I honestly believe that it must go to the church. So I had to make up my mind that even if they do whatever with my money, which wasn't my money anyway, but I was giving it, I had to come to a point where the moment I give, it's not mine anymore. It's not mine to control anymore. I had to make up my mind that I trust God enough, and I trust my leaders that even if they do something with the money that's not my priority, you know, even if they buy Jacob's coffee, and I feel we must do Coffee House because we can save about, what, 30 or 40 rand? We look out for sales, by the way. You must see Yoni. She's amazing. But, you know, we can get so focused on, I've given now money, and now the church do something, and I don't fully agree with it because it's not something that I will do at home. Or they buy 2-ply toilet paper, and I don't even have 2-ply toilet paper in my home. So, no, this church is just wasting my money. You know, we can become so focused on detail, and we completely lose the heart of God, where He says, trust me with this, that I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And I had to come to a place as just a normal working member of a congregation where I said, Lord, when I give, it's not mine to control anymore. They can do with it whatever they want. And let me tell you, I'm very much aware of the responsibility of all of your contributions that's coming to the church's bank account. I'm very much aware of the responsibility. I'm very much aware of that one day I will stand before God. And He will challenge me on what I've done with all your contributions. I'm very much aware of that. I'm very much living in a place where I say, God, this is yours, and you must help us to steward this properly. We have a finance board to give you some other peace of mind. We have a finance board. We meet every 3 months. They see all the numbers. We're totally open and accountable to them. They can ask us questions. They help us when we do any big purchases or when we have big expenditure. We check it with them. So we are accountable to Stellenbosch. Our salaries are determined by Stellenbosch. We have no control over that. It's been paid from Stellenbosch. I know some of you might be interested in this kind of information. So I just want to give you some peace of mind this morning, that whatever you bring to the church, we look after it as well as we humanly can. By God's grace, we make decisions. Yes, we need to make decisions. We need to make choices sometimes between things that we can do or not or can't do. But our hearts are to bless. Our hearts are not to look at every 5 cents that we can now save. We want to bless you. Our God is a God of abundance. Amen? And we also, our heart is to bless other churches. You know, there's such a need in the Eastern Cape to be generous, to help out, to plant a church in a community where there's not resources and money. And God has given us so much. As a church, God has given us so much. And once again, faith is God's love language. So if we can give towards His church, I believe that's real faith. You know, not giving necessarily to a place where you say, I want you to do this with the money. We're kind of still controlling then. And I'm totally open for that. If you ever come to us, if people come to us and they say, this is a donation for that, we keep it separate. Okay, I feel very strongly about that, keeping it separate and just doing exactly with the money that you've purposed it for in your heart when you gave it to us. But faith is God's love language, and I think it blesses Him when we let go. When we let go of the moment we give, we bring our tithe when we let go. Amen. The third one, I just want to touch on quickly. Fear is in the one hand. The other hand is my own story about wanting my own house and having this idol that I want my own house. There's nothing wrong with wanting your own house. Okay, just that you know, if you have a desire to have property that is good and blessed, you must see all the scriptures in the Bible about Abraham. He was a wealthy man. They had lots of resources and land and houses and things. Just in my situation, it was an unhealthy obsession. I know that. But it's not necessarily always unhealthy. Okay, so I want to bless you. Go and buy a house. Just consult with God. Make sure you do the right thing. But look at this verse in Haggai 1 verse 9. Quite a scary scripture. So hold on to your seats. Here it comes. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. That was the prophet speaking to the church at that time. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. That was a prophet speaking, saying, thus saith the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, that's your own personal home, I, that's God, blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Quite a scary scripture, hey? But for me, this is just an eye-opener. It's just a shift where I say, okay, God, yes, I have my own house. Yes, I must buy bread and milk and, you know, I must run my own house. But not at the cost of your house, Lord. I'm not going to only focus on my own house. Why, where your house is in ruins, where your house is not prospering, it's not flourishing, it's not full of abundance. But my own house, yes, God, there's it's all happening, but not at the cost. We need to come to a place where we say, God, I'm not only going to build my own house, because your house is so important. Your house is so important to me. And once again, we have to lead our hearts to God's house by planting ourselves, by becoming involved, by starting to give. That is the way where that is how we become passionate about the house of God. And let me tell you, in the same way that faith is God's love language, He's got another love language that I've seen in the Bible, and that is loyalty. I'm going to show you a scripture now, a beautiful scripture of how God is just all behind us when He sees loyalty in our hearts. And loyalty is not something that you even can measure when somebody gives or somebody looks faithful. It's something deep in our hearts that only God can see. But when we are loyal, not only to our own house, but also to God's house, God's heart is wide open. He relates to loyalty. In the same way that He relates to faith, He relates to loyalty. It opens His heart towards us. Amen? And I'm very, maybe you think, oh, Shonika, you're talking so much about money. Isn't there some other important things that we should also talk about? I'm so unashamed about this because we had a friend A couple of years ago, it was a student. He was one of our students when we were at varsity, one of our friends as a student. He was very passionate about God, very passionate about tithing, about giving to the church. And when he started working, something changed in him. And him and Andre had lots of arguments all of a sudden about tithing and is tithing of God. And no. He feels he must pay off his debt first. And, you know, there were just so many things happening in his mind. And what worried us was that we could also see that his heart is growing cold towards the church. So it seemed as if all of a sudden now he had a problem with giving, but it wasn't giving. It was something in his heart that was reflected in his giving. His heart grew cold when he started working, started earning a nice salary. All of a sudden, God's house was not important anymore, and this scripture was very much applicable to his situation. And he also said that he can't tithe, but he was earning lots. He was earning more than enough, but he said nobody can't. And I really feel that sometimes when we build our own house, you know, it says here that when you brought it home, I blew it away. There is a blessing when we honor God. There's a blessing. There's something that rests upon the rest of your finances. A blessing. A special protection. And let me tell you, that is also not only linked to finances. God's blessing is not purely linked to finances. He can bless your marriage. It's not a material thing. It's a loyalty where we commit to faithfully and significantly give. He can bless your marriage. He can give you peace. He can give you joy. He can open doors for you in your workplace. He can have breakthroughs emotionally, spiritually, physically. You can have breakthroughs. Sometimes we just say, God, but I'm tithing and I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm waiting, God, I'm tithing. Do you see my tithes, Lord? I'm waiting for the windows of heaven to open. That opening of the windows of heaven are far more than financial provision. Let me tell you, we experience the most amazing blessing from God, which is not only materially, but God also will take care of your finances. He will. He will. That same friend, Andre, gave him a book that really changed our lives. He gave him a book, and by God's grace, he actually read the book. He's a changed person today, where his heart turned back to God and his house, and he said the reason why he had so many arguments about giving to God's church was because his heart grew cold. His heart wasn't there anymore. So he just found reasons and arguments not to give because it wasn't priority for him anymore. That same guy is now again passionate about the church and giving to God's house. And we are just so grateful. But I've seen so many people where money can turn our hearts from the Lord. That's why the Bible says we cannot serve God and mammon. We can't. We can't. And in all of us, there's a mixture. In my own heart, there's a mixture that I need to check all the time. All the time. Because it's this force that wants to pull your heart away from God. Whether you have much or little, it's not about how much money you have. You can have lots of money and not serving mammon. You can have almost nothing, but you can serve mammon. It's not about how much you have. It's about what's happening inside of your heart. Amen? And I want to show you two scriptures. I'm almost done. Where there's a reward. This is the good news. Can I come to the good news? Hey? There's a reward for loyalty. Let me show you two scriptures. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 19, that says, that's David when he was getting everything ready to build God a house. And when God said to him, no, you're not going to build the house. My son Solomon, he's going to build me a house. So then David's prayer was the following. God, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart. A loyal heart. To keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes and to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. That was David's prayer. God give my son Solomon a loyal heart. That he will use all of these things that we have prepared and build the temple. A loyal heart. Listen to this one. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Isn't that precious? See, there it is. That's God's love language. Faith, loyalty. He looks all the time, looks out for, where can I find loyalty? Where can I find loyalty? I want to show myself strong. Where can I find it? He's looking, he's searching. It says here, his eyes are running throughout the whole earth, constantly looking for loyalty, looking, where can I find loyalty? Where can I find it? I want to show myself strong. Where can I find loyalty? You know, that's God's heart. It's his love language. It speaks to him. When we are loyal to his house, like David was, God's heart is wide open to bless us. Wide open. Wide, wide, wide open. And I just want to share one last story, then I'm going to be done. 2 years ago, such a beautiful testimony. 2 years ago, we did a series called The Generosity Ladder. How many of you were here in that time? A few. Okay. We ordered 80 of these books from a church called The Journey in New York because it blessed us so much and we wanted to distribute it to all of you. So we bought it. It cost us about 2,500 rand, but we didn't wanted to sell it. We just wanted to give it to you. So the one morning when I preached a sermon called The Generosity Ladder, we gave out 80 of these books. And on that particular Sunday, there was a woman in the congregation visiting who was a staff member at Nelson Searcy's church in New York a couple of years ago. She emailed him, this man, personally. She emailed him. She said, you won't believe it. I visited a church in South Africa, and they were giving 80 of your books away, giving it out to the congregation. He said to her, please email them and tell them that I'm going to send them 80 more, just for free. And he did. We got the box of 80 more of these books. And you know, maybe it's some of you, it's just a nice story. For me, at that particular time, it was a huge confirmation that God is in it, that he wants us to talk about generosity. He wants us to talk about not serving money, but serving him. And for me, I'll always hold on to that story because what is the chance? I mean, really, we've never had anybody from New York again visiting our church. And on that particular day, it was this lady who was a staff member in his church. And it was for me just God saying, I bless it. I bless it. And God gave us 80 more books, which we could again just distribute in the church. So, breaking free from fear of lack and fear of losing control is a process. It's a journey. I mean, I've spoken to people in the past who say to me, Sonika, I can't start tithing. Then I must literally sell my house. You know, people who hear about it maybe for the first time or become convinced that they must start giving, they can't always do it because they've already made other commitments. And I completely understand that. I'm totally aware of, you know, how your personal budget can look like. You know, that if you haven't ever given to the church before, that there's not space. There's just not, you can't just fit it in anywhere. So, that's why we must grow in our giving. We must grow. We must allow God to show us how much to give, but we can never reach a point where we say, okay, that's it. That's enough, God. I've given enough. You don't ask me anything more. No, God, I'm faithfully tithing, not a cent more. Tithing is not the ultimate. God wants us to be free. He wants us to become extravagant givers. And that is where the joy really begins. Where the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's when we can come to a place where God can speak to us from a relationship and say, I want you to give 500 rand to that person. He really, really needs that now. I mean, how precious is that if God can speak to you and you are open to do that? So, I'm going to challenge you now because I am challenged. Oh, no. I still wanted to read you something. Okay, before I'm going to challenge you, I want to read you something. Okay. It's in the Joy Magazine, July. The July Joy Magazine. Just a short study or a short portion of or a short article on a study that they've done. They say the finances of Christians who tithe are generally healthier than the finances of those who do not, according to a new study. Researchers compared tithers to non-tithers using 9 financial health indicators. Okay. 9 financial health indicators, and they found that tithers were better off in every category. The weird thing is, a tither looks at that and says, well, I'm better off because I give. That's where I am at. Maybe some of you don't tithe, and you say, a non-tither looks at that and says, oh, they give because they are better off. Tithers carry much less debt than most people. This is what this research said. Are financially better off than Christian non-tithers. 80% of tithers have no unpaid credit card bills. 74% have no car payments. 48% own their home. And 28% are completely debt-free. It's not me. I didn't make this up. Okay, this is in the Joy Magazine. But also, tithing is not going to solve all your financial problems. Don't think just because you're going to start tithing, everything is just going to now be hunky-dory and you're just going to live happily ever after and never stress again about finances or never have to think or never have to plan or never have to budget again. There's a lot of financial stewardship involved. And God wants to teach us and train us not to only give, but also steward our finances properly. So the challenge I have for you this morning is the following. I am personally challenged. I felt that God wanted me to give a portion of my spending money away. Now, the way we do our finances is we have one pot. Andre and I have one pot. It's not my money and his money. We have a pot. All goes into the pot. And then we have different priorities. But I have my spending money, and Andre has his spending money. So that's my money. It's my little bit. Okay, we tithe. We budget to give as well because I'm a budgeter. I'm a saver. I'm a budgeter. So if I sit on the chair on a Sunday and I feel God tells me to give 1,000 rand away, I stress if I don't have it because how is my budget now going to balance? Okay, so what we started doing is we budget to give. So there's always money available to give, which helps my kind of personality to relax. Because if God speaks, then there's money, separate money that we can give. Then I don't have to stress about where is it going to come from now. But you see, that's my comfort zone, unfortunately. It works very well in general, but that's my comfort zone. Okay, God, I let go of it before I even give it. So it's still kind of controlling, you know, for me. Maybe for you it feels like, oh, I'm never going to get there. But for me it's still, you know, I budget to give, So whenever God speaks to me to give, then I start stressing again. So I felt that God wanted me to give away for 6 months only a portion of my spending money, which is now my little bit that I keep separate for myself. And in the beginning, I was like, oh no, God, it's not only spending money, it's things that I put away for things that I need. It's money that is separate for, you know, things that I need. I said, God, but how am I now going to buy all these things that I need? So God said, do you trust me? Do you trust me? So I'm just in a new way, again, putting my faith in God, which is good for me. It's hard on the one end, but I can feel it's good for my relationship with God, because now all of a sudden, God must now provide for me. You know, I can't now renegotiate. I often negotiate with my husband when it comes to money, but I can't now every month renegotiate for myself. So I must trust in the Lord. I must trust Him now. And I know God wants to bless somebody else because He's really blessing us in such a special way. But and now all of a sudden I get excited. In the beginning I was like, oh, and now, oh, okay, God, show me. The first month, where is this money going to go to? I now get excited. It's now this thing between me and God where we're going to bless somebody, and I'm purely just a channel, and I know God will take care of whatever needs I have. Amen. So I want to put a challenge out there for you. If you've never given anything significantly to the church, I want you to somewhere in the next 6 months speak to God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to give? I'm not going to let you raise your hands this morning, okay? This is all between you and the Lord. I want to challenge you to give something significantly, that something you're going to feel. You actually wanted to do that with the money, but now you're going to give it to the church. A once-off, but it must be significant. You must feel it. I'm not talking here about 20 rand or 50 rand or something, okay? You must, maybe that is significant for you. It must be something that you're going to feel. For the rest of you who have given that before, I want to challenge you to give faithfully every month. I'm not talking about tithing now, because I'm sure most of you have never tithed before. It's difficult to just all of a sudden fit it into your budget. I want you to commit only for 6 months to give something significantly, even if it's not a tithe. Okay? So you've given before, but you've never given like 6 months faithfully in a row, something significantly. I want to challenge you to do that. For those of you who are at that point, but you're not tithing, I want to challenge you to start tithing to the church. If you're not a member here at your own local church, I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you to ask God how you can reshuffle your budget and put that on top and honor the Lord and show Him that you are loyal in your heart. For those of you who are tithing, and I know that there's many of you, and bless your hearts, please continue the good work. But I have another challenge for you, to give over and above your tithe. To come to a point where tithing is part of your budget and it's just clicking the button on the internet and there goes my tithe. I want you to check with the Lord. Where and how does He want you to give extra? Somewhere in the next 6 months or for 6 months in a row. I want to challenge you to give extra and to check. You know how awesome it is? If God tells you a specific person, or even to bring it to the church, or a specific thing, and you put money aside, and it's this partnership with the Lord. Do you know how exciting that is? And do you know how much you can bless somebody? Because there's so many testimonies of people praying for 500 rand, and there comes the 500. Hey, you can be that person. There's something happens in your relationship with God. Nothing else can do that. It's where you sacrifice a little bit of your own, but you bless somebody else. You are an answer to a prayer. Plus, you've heard God's voice. It's so exciting. I can't tell you, and I want to challenge you to become part of that. Instead of only being a tither, move beyond that and say, God, lead me, show me, talk to me, help me overcome my fears. Help me overcome this fear of control that I have.